A few days into his first legislative session as Alaska's newest governor, Michael Dunleavy held a press conference. He made it clear that he wants Alaskans, not just lawmakers, to decide how money from the permanent fund is spent.
I want to involve the people of Alaska in the permanent fund and the PFD. I think what happened back in the 70s and early 80s, I think those folks were enlightened. And those enlightened politicians back then engaged the people of Alaska. And just imagine for a second, if they were never engaged and there was never a permanent fund, you wouldn't be talking about $64 billion. We wouldn't be having this discussion.
When he was on the campaign trail, Dunleavy promised to pay dividends of more than $6,000. And now he's trying to make good on that promise. But delivering on it isn't going to be simple. I'm Rasha McChesney, and this is Paying Dividends.
Welcome to Alaska. Here's $1,000.
Well, it's about time, but why?
When you collect that check, it is your share as an owner of the resource.
And you know, people are like, do you really get paid for living there? And you're like, yeah. You know, you look back and you're like, dang, what did I spend my PFD on?
If we don't make a change in the permanent fund, it's gone in a couple of years. It's just gone.
My goal is to pay a full PFD and to go back and make sure that Alaskans get the PFD that was also cut.
On this episode of Paying Dividends, what do legislators think of Dunleavy's promise? And will they work with him or against him? Lawmakers have been struggling to close a massive gap between what the state spends and what it makes since oil prices crashed in 2015. Last year, they took the historic step of tapping into earnings from the permanent fund to pay the bills. But those earnings are also where PFDs come from. That leaves lawmakers with some hard choices. Do you fund a full PFD, leaving less money to pay for state government? Do you pay for state government and give Alaskans what's left over? Do you cut government and pay a full PFD? Andrew Kitchenman is the state government and politics reporter for KTOO and Alaska Public Media. In a recent news story, Andrew said that every dollar the state pays out in permanent fund dividends is a dollar that won't pay for government services. With Governor Dunleavy's newly trimmed budget anticipated next week, that math is on everyone's mind. We start with some key numbers. So $16 billion, that's what's in the earnings reserve. That's that round figure of money that can be spent from the permanent fund. And you were talking to some legislators about that earlier this week.
Yeah, and one of the ones who's concerned about that is Tammy Wilson. She's a North Pole Republican, sort of known as a conservative and a big voice in the legislature for conservative principles. Her concern is basically that if the state has a lot of financial problems right now, and it spent down its big savings account. It had a savings account that had grown to more than $10 billion. That's almost all gone. This is a separate savings account. And she's concerned that the only place left is the permanent fund. This is what she had to say about that.
But the biggest concern I think that people have right now is that this pot of money that was put aside, you know, to be looked after now seems to be the next biggest pot. And once it's gone, it's gone.
So she's concerned about this big pot of money. And it sounds like she's saying that as a state, there were other big pots of money and those have all been spent down. So she just sort of warning.
Yeah, exactly. If the same legislature that spent down the constitutional budget reserve, which is this other savings account, chose to spend that down when it wasn't supposed to, can we really trust it to not spend down the permanent fund?
Okay. And the next big number is $3,000. Well, what is that?
That's how much Governor Mike Dunleavy wants to pay out in permanent fund dividends. And the way Dunleavy might phrase it is that he wants to follow the old formula. This is the formula that was used from 1982 up through 2015. One thing that's really noteworthy about that number is it's almost $1,000 more than Alaskans have ever received before. The largest was in 2015, and that was a little more than $2,000.
I remember that one. It was exciting. So,
and I remember coming here just after that was paid out.
That's coming out of that $16 billion account. It's coming out of the permanent fund's earnings, not the constitutionally protected part.
That's right.
Okay. So it really seems like the big discussion this session, especially as it relates to the PFD, is that there is a competition now that's been set up between the dividends and government services. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think if you're Governor Dunleavy, you don't see a competition because you say that the 1982 law is the 1982 law. We're going to follow it. And that's why Governor Dunleavy on February 13th is going to be proposing a lot of cuts. He's basically saying that's the only option. Now, David Teal, who's a nonpartisan expert on the budget for the legislature, he basically has said that every dollar you spend on the PFD is a dollar you can't spend on state government services.
And so you have this draw that's now something that legally happens, that part of this draw can go to fund state services, part of this draw can go to fund PFDs, and yeah. The more you take from one category, the less another one has.
And Governor Dunleavy ran saying that we're going to have full PFDs. We're going to go back to the formula. And he was elected, and some legislators were elected saying that, and some legislators who had voted to reduce PFDs lost election. And so you might say, this has been decided. We're gonna cut the government now.
You have this line in your story kind of along that lines where you talk about what it would take to close the budget gap. What would it take?
You could eliminate state funding for 12 of the 14 departments of state government, and you still wouldn't get there.
Completely. Just completely eliminate it.
Yeah. $0 for fishing game, $0 for the Department of Transportation, $0 for 10 other major departments of state government. And you add that all up, it still doesn't get to the $1.6 billion spending gap. It's going to be a really hard budget process. And one of the people who's going to be sort of at the front lines of that is Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. He's the co-chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
Well, you're looking at 30% reduction in 1 year. That's going to be a jaw dropper, and I'm going to need a bottle of Rolaids to get through the budget process.
Bottle of Rolaids. And this isn't the first time that I've heard him say something like that this session, that the budget's going to drop February 13th, and a lot of people are going to have a lot of heartburn.
Yeah, I didn't ask Senator Stedman if he already has an ulcer, so I don't know if that's like a continuous condition for him.
You talked to Dan Ortiz, who said he quotes, he wants a full PFD, but only if it makes financial sense. Is that even possible? Does a full PFD make financial sense any way you look at it?
Well, as a reporter, I think that's a tough question.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I think that if you ask a lot of people who are knowledgeable about this, many would say that that's not possible. Some do. I mean,
that's the argument of the session. Can you pay a full PFD? Because a lot of Alaskans voted people in who said you could.
Yeah, and there are alternative ideas out there. You have Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Walkowski, who's proposing cutting the amount of tax credits that oil and gas companies take when they're producing oil.
We talked about this a little bit earlier with potentials of new revenue. I mean, they had discussions for the last session and maybe the session before about the possibility of an income tax.
Yeah.
There is a third option here. This isn't just cut the PFD or cut state budgets. Is there another way for the state to make money?
Possibly. I think something that makes that discussion seem a little out of step with the moment we're in here in Alaska is that Alaskans have elected a governor who very much wants a small government, a smaller government, and is not a fan of taxes, to say the least.
That was Andrew Kitchenman, state government and politics reporter for Alaska Public Media and KTOO. Here to talk about what the new governor is a fan of is Bruce Tangeman. He's the new commissioner of the state's Department of Revenue. So I was hoping to just kind of start with your relationship to the PFD, if you could kind of tell me a little bit more about that.
PFD was, I didn't even know what it was when I first got here back in the early 90s. You know, I was just out of college and made a big difference, obviously. I mean, that's a nice influx of cash, even when it was $300, $400, $500. So it's been a roller coaster ride, obviously. Some good years and bad years, but it is a generous bonus for living here for sure.
You didn't know about it before you moved to the state?
Well, no, my wife grew up here in Juneau, so I was familiar that she got a check in October from somewhere, and we got to go out and have a nice dinner.
Okay, and you know, when was your professional relationship with the PFD established?
Probably in this current role, when I was Deputy Commissioner of Revenue, PFD wasn't part of my responsibilities, the Permanent Fund Dividend Division. But now that I'm commissioner, the dividend division itself is underneath me, one of the divisions. And that's just the division that does the mechanics of distributing checks and accepting the application. So it's a very important job, but the Permanent Fund Corporation is a separate entity. And I'm also a trustee on their board as the revenue commissioner. So I get to work on both sides of the equation.
There are some pretty big things happening with that in Juneau at this point. It seems like the current plan from the Dunleavy administration is to pay the full PFD this year,
mm-hmm.
right? How much would that be?
I believe it's going to be around $3,000.
Okay. And that that would make it one of the highest PFDs.
I think it would be, yeah.
That leaves about a $1.6 billion-ish dollar gap between what the state spends and what it makes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What will it take to close that budget gap?
So I think it's a good question, but the fact that you've combined the budget with the dividend itself, they're two different conversations, really. The dividend, Governor Dunleavy believes that the statute that calculates the dividend, which has been in place for decades, there's nothing wrong with that formula. So that's one part of the equation. The other part, and I understand they eventually, you know, they merge down the road. It's inevitable when you're giving out that big of a dividend. And at the same time, we're talking about the budget and very large reductions that are coming. So that's more of a discussion of living within your means. We've tracked the price of oil, and that's how we've budgeted for decades. In order for any of this to work, the full dividend, climbing our way out of the recession, the state government has to get its house in order first. And so I get the question all the time, are you guys really serious? Because I understand the $3.2 billion in revenue. We understand how that's calculated. But are you really going to introduce a budget to match that? Fortunately, that's not my bailiwick. That is the OMB director's. But I think it's going to be a very, very shocking day on February 13th.
There is now a competition between dividends and government services that those are the two choices that legislators have to choose from when it comes to that dividend amount. And you're saying, no, this administration thinks those two things should be separate as much as possible.
Right. And Rasha, I think it's going to be where the conversation goes once the budget is introduced, because traditionally, the previous year's budget, you make some changes, tweaks, you know, for cost of living, for increase in salaries. So it just kind of grows and grows and grows. And as you can tell over the last couple of years, we've been wrapped around the axle arguing can we cut $50 million? So pretty small number compared to what I think we're going to be seeing. So the whole point of we've kind of turned this whole thing on its head by starting with the revenues. And then the budget will match the revenues. And then the conversation begins. I think that's the starting point for the conversation, because then it's going to be a matter of, here's all the programs and the things that the state has been doing for the last several decades. Do we want state government to continue to fulfill those things? And the conversation will then be, how much does it cost? So just a simple example is, this program has been taken out of the budget. Well, if you want to put that program back into the budget, this is how much it's going to cost. Where does the revenue come from? And then the conversation will be, well, what part of what, how does the dividend itself play in this into the overall picture? So I think that's where it's all going to merge. It's, here's what's available. Here's the constitutional requirements that must be met. But we want the focus to be on the budget itself coming out of the gate.
And it sounds a bit like you're saying the way that the budgeting process is working this year is that you're just going to, instead of asking where can we cut, which programs can take a hit, it's, okay, all of these things have been cut. Where can we add?
Well, I think we're taking more of almost a private sector approach. I would love to start with a zero-based budget approach and build your budget from ground zero.
Is that even possible state government?
And that's why I'm now calling it the modified zero-based budget.
Do you think Alaskans will rebel against losing the state services that they already have?
There will be a lot of angry constituents. There's no doubt about it. You can't make cuts like this and not touch different segments of Alaska, for sure. So it's not a matter of trying to make people angry. It's a matter of opening the discussion on what services should the state provide. And are we willing to pay for additional services above and beyond that? So it's not a matter of we're looking to pick a fight. This is the way it's been going is unsustainable. We've been going through our savings accounts. It's an unsustainable business model. So we cannot continue to live beyond our means like we are right now. So the conversation has to take place.
So there has been some pushback in the legislature on enshrining the PFD in the Constitution and questions about whether the cuts that are going to be made to balance the state's budget and pay the full PFD are going to run counter to existing state law. Is this administration's position then that the PFD law is more important than any other law, like some of the ones you mentioned earlier where we're sort of constitutionally obligated to provide mm-hmm. educational services and public safety? I mean, at what point, where does that fall on the spectrum, the PFD law?
I wouldn't say there's any one law that's more important than the other. But there's a lot of these financial issues that are up in the air right now. And I, you know, as the revenue commissioner, in my mind, it all comes back to the budget and sustainability. We can't continue to spend the way we're spending and provide back pay to dividends and provide a full dividend because of the revenue situation we find ourselves in. It all begins with the cuts. We've got 700,000 people. The number of people who are working that would be paying taxes. I think we saw those numbers all over the chart underneath the last administration because they were they didn't know what they needed. This governor is resetting the baseline budget, and it'll be literally, if you want to put a program back into the budget, it's going to cost you X amount. How are you going to pay for it?
We've heard a lot over the last few years, and you and I have talked a lot about there now being this sort of competition between dividends and government services. Are those the state's only two options? Are taxes on the table? What if the state can't rely on the oil industry anymore? Where else can it get money?
Right. So, I've said this in a couple different arenas. And it's true, you know, we're not burying our heads in the sand that someday we will have taxes in place, be that an income tax or a sales tax, what have you. Personally, I don't think that day is for a decade or further down the road. We've got a tremendous wealth of resources in the ground and in Alaska in general, but we've also got a very healthy net position that is the envy of the other 49 states, to tell you the truth. Not many people are sitting on $65 billion that is continuing to spin off cash. So, I think that day will come. I think what we noticed under the last administration was a lot of flailing on different types of tax ideas. I think Alaskans weren't comfortable with the size of government. And what does that mean? It means something different to every person. If you cut it, if you did cut the budget to $3.2 billion, there'd still be people out there saying government's too big. So you're never going to make everybody happy. But I think the general consensus was that government was too big. And as soon as you introduce new revenues, that will be the new baseline for the budget. It's only going to go up from there. So this administration wants to reset the conversation. Here's what we have available. Here's what we can pay with that available revenue. And here are the items that are no longer in the budget. And that there's going to be a big pile of them sitting over here. We want that conversation to focus on the budget for the first few weeks at least, before we start talking about revenues. But that's where the conversation will go. It's natural. If we want to add another program back into the budget, we got to figure out how to pay for it.
I feel like when we have this conversation about dividends and state services, and then, you know, we talked a little bit about acronyms, it gets complex enough that sometimes it's difficult to sort of explain to people how they're all interrelated. And as the conversation gets more sort of emotionally strident, it's like these things are, it's like it's a snarl. There's a giant knot of how do we pay for this, and who gets a PFD, and should we tax this? And I wonder, have you ever tried to explain state government and what we're arguing about to just sort of general people who maybe don't watch what's happening in Juneau?
Yeah, family, people that live out of state, friends.
How do you explain it to them? What do you tell them?
Well, generally, either I mention it or they mention it to me, and usually the first comment is, wait, you get paid to live in Alaska and you don't have any taxes. And then from there, it's like you can't whine anymore. We've still got good problems to solve. We've got a very healthy permanent fund that continues to generate cash. Oil production has obviously come down from the peak years, but we've leveled that out for the last couple of years, and there's a lot of potential out there. And we don't have any taxes on the books. So we're starting from a pretty, pretty good position. And using words like that, I know in 3 weeks that'll come back and bite me, because it is going to be a really brutal conversation that we're going to be having.
Commissioner Tangeman, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure, Ashley.
That's it for the first episode of Paying Dividends. This podcast is a production of KTOO and Alaska Public Media. It's edited by Jennifer Pemberton and Annie Feit. Special thanks to Tana Peters and David Purdy for making us look good on the web. That's ktoo.org/paying dividends if you want to check it out. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode, and we'll have the governor's proposed budget in hand. Thanks for listening.
Oh.